The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh. Whose body do you want to touch, Joe?
Elizabeth Shue. Oh, but I want Jalen Carter to touch.
I don't think you're supposed to say
body.
That.
There you go.
No, I'm allowed to say that.
I don't think you're allowed to say that.
I think that was a rhetorical question.
No, I mean, I would like to. I would only do so with permission. Well, I wouldn't do so
no,
now.
No, you
like,
should not
I got a girlfriend,
do that.
So I wouldn't do,
not well, even with permission. What about Amy from Villanova,
what
man?
What if I had Amy permission and Liz
come
Shue
on.
Permission?
Why would Amy double, give you permission?
You never know. Double permission.
It's true.
I mean,
hall pass, sure, you know, they're the hall pass thing.
Double
that's
permission.
A, that's a thing.
Right. Do you have the hall pass with Amy from Villanova?
I do not, but it would require double permission. All right, by the way, Jalen Carter hopefully will touch the body of Bryce Young. I was with Bryce Young one night. I know
he's
that sounds weird
Bryce
after
Young's
talking about touching the
lot.
Bodies. We had him at the Maxwell Awards 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever year it was. He is
I like that way
really,
of speaking.
Really, really slight.
Now, he's so tiny.
Now,
even
maybe,
you can see it on the football field.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, he looks so little.
I'm sure there's been some bulking up over the 2 years he's been in, or 2 or 3 years in pro football, but I will tell you, I was truly struck by how slight he is. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I had a similar experience 5 or 6 years ago with Lamar Jackson, and he's hung in there just fine. Now, he gets injured a decent amount, but he's a flourishing quarterback.
But he can move
he can
in
move.
A way that Bryce Young can.
He can move.
I wonder how Lamar Jackson feels to know that Joe DeCamera looked at him.
I did.
Sized him up
well,
and thought,
look at this guy.
That Lamar is a slightly
really
built
any football
man.
Player alive.
No, for real. Like,
Joe DeCamera being like,
does
oh,
he
slight.
Feel?
Let me tell you, all right, let me tell you who's
Joe
put on a ton of weight.
Assessing a guy
I do, like,
as slight.
Like Derrick Henry, who I met when he was
you
in high school.
You thought he was slight?
In high school.
No
dude,
way.
Dude, since high school, a lot
hold
of
on,
weight.
Hold on. No.
A lot of weight.
But when he was in high school, he was still 6'4".
A lot of weight. A lot of weight.
225 pounds.
Those shoulders.
As a high school senior.
I'm telling you.
Didn't look like that in high school.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. ULA High School, National Player of the Year. We honored him like 10 years ago. All right, let's welcome Mr. Ben Davis to the program this morning. Good morning, Benjamin.
Top of the morning to you.
And all of it to you, my man. You know what? All of it and the rest of the day to the 2024 Eagles,
yes.
Who hopefully, Ben, are actually better than the squad 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? What's your, how do you size these two squads up? Last year, excuse me, 2 years ago, this year, who do you think's better?
I think this squad is better.
Why?
And
yes.
And I will tell you this, and I think John hit the nail on the head when I was coming in. The defense, their defense, their youth, and their ignorance.
You said their defense.
Yeah, he did go to defense. I mean, it got a little weird.
I like that. I got a little hockey kind of defense.
Yeah.
They're, and
what, defenseman.
That's right. They're mucking and grinding.
But hey, but it is a thing. Like,
it's a big thing.
It can be defense.
It's a big thing.
But we also only say defense. Right?
You also never see the defense offense chant anymore.
Wait,
you never
why
see that
isn't
chant.
It defense?
It sounds weird.
Yeah. No,
it does sound weird.
Yeah.
I know, but why?
Canadian.
Why?
Canadian.
Is it Canadian?
It sounds Canadian.
Yeah, it does.
Defense.
But
so,
I think their defense is just on a different level. Their schemes are off the charts, and Saquon's a freak. He's a freak.
Well, Saquon, no question. Here's the thing I'll say, in all due respect to
more and more though
the corners this year, guys. Slay, but I'll say Slay and Bradbury 2 years ago were probably better. I mean, I all do love
hold
the Quinion and Cooper.
I don't know, man. I think that this defense.
Slay was awesome.
But not physical.
But,
these guys
but
are
would
physical.
Slay
they're
come up and
tackles.
Strike you? No,
no
way. Darius Slay,
well,
yeah,
he's still
he
a starter on this team.
People in man.
He's still a starter.
Okay, but he's also hurt. He's also been hurt for a couple games, and we've been all right without him.
James, break the tie.
We have toughness.
Corners 2 years ago, corners now.
The identity.
I think the corners now, honestly. I think Quinyon's better than all of them. I think Quinyon.
Nobody throws to his side.
Quinyon as a rookie is better than Slay or Bradbury were in 2022.
You remember what Slay did? You remember what Slay did to Kirk Cousins?
Well, Slay was great for the first half. Do you remember he was great for the first half of the season, then fell off a lot.
That's fair.
A dependable and solid. He can man you up if need be. He can do great corner things.
Yeah.
But these young corners, these in-your-face brash, they're gonna come up and tackle you. They're gonna wrap you up. They're gonna strike you. They're gonna try to hurt you, and they are unintimidated against every single. They've covered the best in man this season with great effect. They have not been out of place. These young players know now that they belong. And so now it's even better from here.
All right, look, I mean, you're making a compelling case. These guys have been great. I think that squad was great, too. Let's go to the phones. Where you stand? That squad versus this squad, plus the Sixers, plus Juan Soto and the Phils. Why do you think the Phils aren't in on Soto? It's an interesting dynamic. I mean, you would think bat-wise he would completely fit. Why do you think they're not in? Let's get to Martin in Chesterbrook. Martin, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
Morning to you.
Hey, nothing much. All right, so you guys got a lot going on, so I'll just try and
what
hit them all
mean?
Real quick. No, it just means there's a lot of, like, answers to give right now.
Yeah, for me, I know. Joe especially, though, he does have a lot going on.
I think about that all the time.
How does he manage it?
Yeah, to fit in those hour-long baths and the nap in the bath. I mean,
what if he seizes up something he's never done?
I rarely get offended. I am offended now.
He's
I do a lot.
You're very busy. You are.
He's so concerned with his.
A lot.
No, let me tell you something you guys don't know.
The safety of his bathroom. He's concerned about.
No, I'm not even going to say it. Not even going to say it now. Because it's going to sound self-serving. I take it back. Go ahead, Martin.
All right. So, first of all, I believe you do a lot. I just believe it's a very different list than most.
I agree with that.
I think that's a really good way to put it, Martin.
He does a lot.
I got the 24 Eagles because the whole team is on a different trajectory. And they're, like, going in the right direction the entire time instead of kind of exploded. Everything was new. There was no book on them. So the fact that they're performing and going through slow times and just continuing to improve is a sign that the whole team is a better team.
This team's growing more than that team grew. I'm with you on that. All right, give me your next point.
All right, next point, 76ers. My question back to you is how do you lay off as we tune out, once they slide into the postseason, because it's a huge postseason in the NBA, and they start to win, how do you lay off to like make the effect felt that we're displeased as a fan base?
Well, here's the thing, Martin. The chance that they make the playoffs, I still think are decent. But the chance that the chance that they go on a run in the playoffs, I think are slim. And so even if they get in there as the 7 seed, 8 seed, 6 seed. I don't think a first round or a quick second round exit will make anyone feel good.
So I
think the chances that the fan base is energized entering the offseason is like 1%. I really do.
I think that's generous.
Might be. Yeah.
All right. Soto, the news on Soto, I'm hoping it means we're going after pitching because pitching wins series.
I kind of feel like it means they're going after a trade.
Well, they're definitely going to trade to bring more average to the lineup, I think, or just a difference, like a juice move, something to shake it up. And I think they're saving money for arms, or I hope they're saving money for arms.
Yeah. All right, Martin, excellent phone call. Give me a great answer. Who was known for a certain thing?
I got Michael Jackson in that glove.
Oh, that's a good answer, man. Michael Jackson in the glove.
I love that answer.
Tremendous answer. All right.
Everyone wanted that, and it was the liner. People were going to the ski store. I didn't know anything about skiing, but there was a ski store near my house that would sell the liners for inside your gloves that looked kind of sparkly, and everyone wanted to go buy those fake the inside glove liners so they could wear just one.
Great answer.
Be like MJ.
All right, Joe to Cameron and John Ritchie on this Thursday morning. So, big game Sunday, obviously, because they're all big for the Eagles trying to get the one seed, the Eagles in Carolina. But there's also a massive game tonight for the purpose of that one seed. And also to sort of size up what the second round could look like. Because the Eagles, of course, in the second round could play the Packers or the Lions. And those two teams play each other tonight. What a great matchup that is. Thursday Night Football, we'll be talking about that through the program. Jason Kelsey in about 10 minutes joins us in studio. Phone calls throughout the day. Reminder, Eric Dickerson today at 9:30. Obviously, Saquon is trying to track down his record. It's a very compelling, probably the most compelling part of the NFL storyline this season. I mean, I know there's the Chiefs going for three in a row. That's a big deal. Josh Allen going for his first. That's a big deal. But, I mean, John, this is a big all-time record. You know, we saw a big one fall last year in pro basketball. When LeBron passed Kareem's all-time points, that's a big one. The single-season rushing record in pro football, it's probably one of the top five records in football. Total touchdowns, total rushing yards, single-season rushing yards, total sacks. Like, this is one of the really big ones.
Wow.
It might fall this year.
It could. Certainly should with the amount of talent we have on this offense for running.
Should's a little aggressive, Johnny. He's got to keep a great
pace. The amount of talent for running the football, if we express that adequately the way we have, I mean, that's why he's on schedule.
Well, but here's what I'll say. One game.
We can see what it takes.
One game where he puts up a 40 spot, which happens frequently in football. Hasn't happened this year, but like it does happen.
Yes.
One game with a 40-yard rushing,
sure.
Now he's got some serious catching up to do.
And then one second half where he has two plays from 70-plus that he scores a touchdown, that erases that one game where he has 40 yards.
Ben, let me ask you this. If you are Eric Dickerson, we'll obviously ask him coming up in 2 hours. By the way, Jason Kelsey in about 10 minutes with us. If you're Dickerson, do you want to see your record broken or not?
Hell no.
Correct.
Is there anyone who says
hell
they want
no.
it broken?
Of course it's
and
hell no.
I don't think it will be broken. I mean, obviously, I hope he does it.
Yep.
But I think the schedule will dictate that why it won't be broken.
Because they could have something clinched?
They should have something clinched, and they just won't need him as much with this schedule. I just not taking anything for granted.
That's why
this schedule.
Hurry up!
Yeah, John.
Here in the next few games.
I would encourage you, John, to slow your roll down a little bit on expecting it.
Just prepare yourself.
Yeah, like
it could go either way.
Expecting. I don't remember saying I expect.
Well, okay.
I
you said that you expect
pace.
It.
I think you
I
said
remember
they
saying
they
the
should.
Amount of talent they should be able to do this. Based on the amount of talent.
Yeah, but that's not
there.
The only metric.
That's the offensive line around him and the fact that he really is that
right.
good.
But there's also, do you want to give him the ball 23 times week 18? You know?
Like, that's what I'm saying.
If there's no meaning to the game.
Right.
I don't think they can. Like, if it's like, if he needs 100, if he needs like 20 yards or 30 yards, that's a different discussion.
If it's clinched, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying if it's clinched and they go into week 18 with nothing to play for and he needs like 140 yards, like, I don't think they can sell it to the fan base.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him to play in that game.
And James, especially if it means Landon Dickerson has to play. We
saw
him get rolled up a couple weeks ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid Landon Dickerson was going to be out big time a couple weeks ago and he limped off.
Looked really bad, yeah.
So, all right, let's get a lot of calls in here.
Guys, could shape up like the Lions and the Eagles are battling it tooth and nail.
Oh, it could
matter.
No question.
It is possible, though.
For sure.
The Lions, because they're so depleted right now, if they lose a couple of these games... That last game for us, the last couple games, you never know. It could really be like you're talking about, a complete non-factor. He might not need to play at all, and it might be a complete like travesty to even put him in there and risk injury when he's completely unnecessary.
All
when the Eagles don't need him for any reason.
Yep. All right, 215-592-9494. Plus, you can comment on, you know, Juan Soto's obviously not coming here. What do you make of the why of why they're not in on him? And also the Sixers. What a mess. Derek and Paoli right now. Derek, good morning.
Good morning.
What's
you
know, up,
this
Derek?
Is my thing how you doing, John?
Good.
I'll be riding through Mechanicsburg on Tuesdays, man. I deliver wine.
Wow. And on the Carlisle Pike?
There.
Is there a statue of John Ritchie as you pull in?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've been looking for it.
No statue, no. But
no,
that is
I look for it every Tuesday.
Do you notice that the folks like all around are very wise and everyone just seems really happy and good?
No, not really.
I'm doing the move, man.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's probably not like that. I was hoping. Being hopeful, Derek.
It's not a bad place, though. They treat me good up there, but, you know.
That's cool.
You know.
Yeah. I'm glad that you get to enjoy it.
Go ahead, Derek.
So with the Saquon thing, that's what I wanted to ask you, John. So all the running backs that ran for 2,000 yards, right? Like, what was the quarterback's numbers, and what was the team's record?
Well, I mean, we'd have to look a lot of things up.
I've already did that, though. I've already did that. So a lot of teams don't have winning records, and a lot of the quarterbacks is trash. So we should be, like, we're in a good spot to have almost a 2,000-yard rusher, and we're 10-2.
I'm looking right now at the list of 2,000-yard rushers. So Terrell Davis was on one of the great teams. Terrell Davis, 98 Broncos were awesome. Derrick Henry, 2020, that was a playoff team. That was a playoff team, I think, that beat Brady in the playoffs, I believe. Barry Sanders, 97, they made the playoffs. They beat the Jets the final week as he went nuts in the fourth quarter to get 2,000 yards. Not a great team, but a playoff team. Jamal Lewis, 2003. I don't know if that was McNair yet. Probably not.
Mm-mm.
Probably whoever was after Dilfer and before McNair in Baltimore, whoever that bum was.
I don't remember, yeah.
And Adrian Peterson certainly never had good quarterback play.
They were 9-7 playoff team.
Yeah,
but
who? Dilfer.
Yeah.
2003 was...
No, Dilfer was gone after 2000.
Oh, and that was 99.
Yeah, he was championshipping out. Whoever. Yeah. And look, Adrian Peterson, it
Tony
seemed like...
Tony Banks in there for a minute, remember
maybe.
That? Yeah.
And Peterson never had
but
good
Tony
quarterbacks.
Tony Banks might have been before Dilfer.
Well, I don't know. So anyway, Derek, you make an interesting. There's different. And then there's Chris Johnson all those years ago. So go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like we got a good thing going. I just feel like, you know, Hurts ain't, he don't look like he's looked in the past, but we've seen him look good. So hopefully, if we needed him to, you know, to put his 2022 Jalen Hurts in motion, we're going to be a tough out, man.
Well, they're good.
We certainly are.
Lights out.
Yeah, very tough out. Derek,
no doubt.
Derek, give me a great answer. What's someone known for something specific?
The dude took my Michael Jackson answer, so I'm gonna pivot to Flavor Flav in his clock.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Great answer.
Tremendous answer right there, and very unique. I mean, what a ridiculous but fun and funny thing. Let's get to JP in Plymouth Meeting.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Wow!
Nice job, JP. Dude, that was strong.
You stopped on a dime, like LeSean McCoy.
I don't know if a caller's ever been that quick with the like talking in the background. Bang, I'm good.
All right, what do you got today, JP?
I want to talk Eagles. I think Saquon's going to break that record. I really do. I think the Detroit's on a downhill. I see him winning the division. I see him winning like first place in the bye. My buddy called me up last night, asked if I wanted to watch the Sixers game. I said no for two reasons. Number one, it's past my bedtime. And number two, I'm done with the Sixers. I want nothing to do with them. They're not even watchable. I won't watch.
Look, there's a lot of people not watching. Well, hang on. So let me just say this. It was reported yesterday that the tickets yesterday were as low as $2 to attend the game.
Wow.
And the pictures of the stands was just
bad.
Depressing.
It's really sad. It's really, really pathetic, JP.
And it felt pathetic, too, in its attempt at holding our attention, at holding my attention last night. I was walking in and out of the room with that game
on. It's tough, John. It's tough.
It was a challenge. It was. And I love Jared McCain. I love Tyrese Maxey. I love what they're doing. But what the heck, man? Paul George? No. Well, again, Joel, no. Oh, but we're told he might play.
He's ramping up, John.
Oh, good.
And the other thing is, even if they win a game like that, which they didn't, but they won a similar type of game the prior night, it doesn't galvanize you. Like, without the guys healthy, they can't go anywhere.
It doesn't feel like there's any promise.
Correct.
Yeah.
Lack of hope.
Any hope. Right.
It's brutal,
right.
JP.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember the city was so excited when Paul George was coming here, and now look
at
it.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a
night and day. What a difference.
They're putting Nick Nurse up there to explain everything, and it looks like he doesn't even know what's going on.
Right, right. He's now a tragic figure.
JP, give me an E. I actually agree with that. Give me an answer. Who's known for something, identified with something?
Dennis Rodman and his hair.
Rodman and the hair. Yeah. I feel like they're... I don't know if we can go as broad as, like, his personality, but was that too broad, James?
I don't think we could do the personality.
Yeah. So the Rodman hair thing, the one thing about it that was always a little phony baloney.
You know what I mean?
It's a little phony baloney because he stole it from Demolition Man. That was
yeah, it was Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, John, you know that. Demolition Man, Wesley Snipes did that, and then Rodman's like, all right, I'll do that. When he was playing for what, the Spurs, I think.
Yeah, it was Spurs.
I had no idea that.
Because
it was right then.
It was the same year. It was 93, I think, to Matt.
It never happened before that.
What do you mean it never happened? That guy never bleached his hair.
Not when he was a Piston. And then he goes to the Spurs. He's playing with the Admiral.
I don't know for sure that it caused what.
Wesley Snipes is rocking that look. Ben Davis has rocked that look, Ben.
Right.
My son looks great. My son just did that look last night. My son just FaceTimed me with the shaved head and bleached hair. This is across the board. This is a look that happens everywhere.
Fair enough. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up in a moment, we're going to get to, matter of fact, let's get to it right now. Nick Sirianni, what Sirianni said about Detroit versus Green Bay. It's a massive game tonight, Detroit and Green Bay. And we asked him about, you know, kind of his flow with a game like this because he's got a busy week. But Detroit, Green Bay, what's his strategy tonight?
Hey, Nick, big game Thursday night. Obviously, Detroit, who you're trying to track down in the Packers. Are you going to watch that in real time or at least try to track it in real time? I know you're busy prepping and you got family and all that, but I mean, that's a big game for you. Do you follow that in real time Thursday night?
You know, one thing I really like doing on Thursday night, get out here just a little bit earlier on Thursday. And one thing I really like doing is taking some work home with me and sit on the couch and watch football. I don't care who it is. I mean, that's what we do. We watch football. Aren't you bored? You know, aren't you bored of football when you get home? Heck no. I can't wait to watch games when we get home. And so Thursday you get out a little bit earlier than normal, just because you're wrapping up the week a little bit more so. So, and when I say early, I mean, you know, you still get out here late, but you at least get to watch some of the game at home. And so I'll watch it because that's my routine, you know, to sit on the couch, do some work and watch some football. And so again, though, my job is to solely focus on the things that we can control. Does that mean I don't root for a team or this or that, or, you know, that? No, because I'm human and we all do that. But I can't control that. Watch and see what's happening. And all we can control is, all our minds should be focused on is the Carolina Panthers.
All right, Nick Sirianni, he covered a lot there. He covers the human emotion of like, heck yeah, I'm rooting for someone. Heck yeah, I'm going to watch it. But also, only can control what we can control, and that's got to be the main focus.
How's Nick getting all zen and like control?
He's a wise guy, John.
Well, he's a wise guy.
He's a wise human being.
Yeah, yeah. Wise man.
All right, let me tell you who's one of the wise men. He is a wise man. He is Mr. Jason Kelce, of course, with us every Thursday at this time, brought to us by his beer, Garage Beer. The garage is always open. Light beer like it used to be. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer, or drink it, of course, at drinkgaragebeer.com. That's drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers.
Don't go to your local realtor for it.
No, don't do that.
I mean,
and
they
dads
might have it too.
They may.
If they're a good realtor, they'll make it.
Damn straight.
It's the closing, or maybe the gift after.
That's right.
So, Jason, how was Thanksgiving? How are you, bud?
Doing great. Had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It's been a fun week for sure. I was down with Bill Murray playing golf with him, which is
no big deal.
Yeah,
look at that.
Still in awe that took place. So yeah, it's been a fun week for me.
How much Caddyshack talk was there, you and Bill Murray, on a golf course?
There was a ton of Caddyshack, especially with the caddies on the course. I mean, I think the caddies were. That's like the pinnacle of like their profession. So they were just. It was a blast. It was a complete blast. And he has this uncanny ability, obviously, of being off the cuff, but just like to connect with people, which was fun to witness in person.
That's fantastic, man.
Cool
dude?
Very cool dude. Very cool dude. Very cool place. Vidalia, Georgia, Hoopy Match Club. It was a fun experience, to say the least.
How do you keep your schedule up? I mean, it's like every day I feel like you're in a different state. How do you do it?
Well, I don't. I have somebody who handles it for me, and she does a great job, Emily. We find a way to make it work, and there's a lot of opportunities. And, right now we're probably scaling back a little bit because we've been running around, but this was one that I was not going to miss for sure.
Good for you, man. Scaling back a little bit because you're running around.
Yeah.
Is that because you are, I would imagine, feeling the effects of run, or is this bit. Just someone telling you, hey, we need to pull back?
Well, I think the entire internet's telling me to pull back.
That's great.
Yeah. That's a great line.
Well, that too.
Yeah. I think I'm probably been doing a little bit too much, but you know, you try and take advantage of opportunities when they come. But also part of it's just, you know, holidays are coming up. You know, we're doing this late night show later in the year with ESPN. And in order to do that well, I'm going to have to do because that's going to be live. It's going to be rehearsals and stuff like that. There'll be a band. So I think I'm trying to really make sure that that's good. So over the next month, we'll probably tone it down a bit.
Good for you. So Jason, three major developments since we last talked to you 2 weeks ago.
All right.
You just touched, and by the way, Jason, of course, fielding phone calls for the next hour. You can join us, 215-592-9494. So congratulations, and this is not in any particular order other than, number one, as you just referenced, the TV show coming up on ESPN.
Yeah.
It sounds so
it's an
exciting.
Incredible achievement. But let me, real quick, before we deep dive that.
Sure.
Congratulations on baby number four coming up.
How about it?
Thank you.
I mean, dude, that is, that's really special, man.
I say this a lot. At what point do you stop getting congratulated and start being like, what are you doing?
Well, Jason, Joe and I know this since we're the youngest of big families. Like, I was six. You were five.
I was fifth.
I was the sixth kid. So I'm thankful they continued on.
For sure.
I like to hear that.
How's Kylie doing? Is she all good?
She's great. Yeah, Kai's good. She's not at that point yet where it's like uncomfortably like pregnant. So she's doing well. Yeah.
Good. All right. So let's get to the TV show. Then we'll get to the team because the Eagles are the other thing. I mean, their Super Bowl talk is really real now. But let's TV show. So how did it come together? I mean, I think there's been a late night dearth for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the old days where America doesn't tune into anything other than pro football these days the way they used to. Like, that's more than so much has gone down because you got Netflix, you got this, you got that.
There's a lot of competition.
You can just look on your phone on YouTube. I lie in the bathtub and just check out my phone for an hour. Mm. But you're going to try to break through.
Yeah, that was gross.
I do. But I mean, Jason,
I can't wait to hear that you're watching this late night show in your bathtub.
While I'm naked.
Oh,
while I'm naked.
No!
Thinking of you, Jason.
Need that.
A naked hammer thinking of you. All right, so Jason, while you dwell on
hammer!
Thinking about you. So how did it come together? And tell us like your mindset.
No, you know, we were talking to a bunch of the networks when we were thinking about, you know, where to go and what was going to happen this year as far as a media thing. And, you know, it became apparent there, you know, there'd be opportunities to potentially try something like this. And, you know, I've always, to me, when I think of the NFL, I think of the iconic NFL music and these highlights and, you know, Steve Sable, John Facenda, and like these, a lot of NFL films type things. And that was a big thing for me was, there's a lot of connections, you know, NFL film starred in Philadelphia. I think John Facenda was like on, used to be like a news anchor.
He was here.
Yeah.
Until I believe the early 80s.
And, you know, NFL films.
Or maybe it was prior to that, but he was for a long time here. That's right.
So NFL films is in South Jersey. And I'm like, okay, how can I get that music to be a part of whatever I'm doing? Because to me, that's when I hear like the classic battle, and I'm trying to like make sure.
Well, Seltzer can play them. I mean, he's got
can you? All right.
You don't think I'm already doing
there
that?
We go.
Just getting it ready.
Like, how can you not hear this and just like get goosebumps about football, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to have a live band. We're going to be playing music like this. There'll be former players and coaches talking about the game. There'll be comedy bits. But for me, I really wanted to try and incorporate, you know, what's a template that I could do something that, you know, celebrates the past of football, celebrates what's currently happening, because it's been, this season at least will be five episodes during the postseason. And then what's something that I can also celebrate the fan base as a part of?
Nice.
And obviously, we wanted to do it in Philadelphia. NFL Films being close by helps that out, as well as just doing it someplace that is, one, easy to get to, but also, two, was obviously where I played my whole career at.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing it in the most diehard football town in America. We're doing it with some really, really cool people. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be something that celebrates the game, is funny, is in entertaining. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Good for you, man. So it sounds very, amazing. The way you've described it so far, football-focused and sports-focused.
For sure.
Are you going to broaden out from that and do the late night, you know, here's an A-list celebrity. Here's Tom Cruise. He's got a new movie coming
out. The Monologue. How about that,
does
too?
Does that stuff play in, or is it more sports?
We're toying around with that right now. I think the monologue, we've toyed around with no monologue. I think after talking to some people, we might do like a little bit intro, but it won't be an extended monologue if we do something like that.
Yep.
I'm really trying to avoid having guests on for the sake of just like a big name who's on a promotional trip.
Well, then have Richie on. He's a small name.
No, yeah. Sure.
What's the John Ritchie? John Ritchie or Taylor Swift? First guess.
Either way.
I think the panel discussions that I like have experts on the panel, but then potentially have like, you know, somebody up there that's just a football fan that's like a diehard guy.
Yeah.
Because I think that
is cool.
Yeah. I think that people, when you played the game, you think about the game a certain way and you think about questions and answers that revolve around that. It's nice to have somebody on the panel sometimes that just like thinks about the game from a fan's perspective. So the conversation happens in a way that the people watching really appreciate as well. So I think I'm going to try and make sure that panel is well balanced of guys that are going to be able to chop it up and have fun.
Yep.
And are experts in the game, but also people that are just fans of the sport and genuinely interested in learning and talking with guys that used to play. Or, I mean, we might get some current players because the season will be over at that point for a number of them. So we'll see.
Well, major congrats, so daunting. And what is the time frame that you're trying to move all of this into go time for? Like, when do you, when does it feel like it's like,
yeah, we got rehearsals this week, actually. We're already filming things for the first episode. Yeah.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And the launch date? What's the launch date?
Flying by the seat of your pants. Like, for sure. It really does feel, I mean, that must feel exciting.
Is it early January it launches?
January 3rd, I think, is the first episode.
And 5 are planned as of now, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
Way to go.
Major awesome. Congrats.
Wow. Thank you very much.
So let's get cool. to the third development, because, of course, Jason with us every Thursday, except for, you know, last Thursday with Thanksgiving not. So the other one, Jason, in the last 2 weeks, and it's not like it wasn't sort of kicking around in portions of November.
Yeah.
But the win against Baltimore.
It's huge. Yeah.
It really, like, so Jason, you played in all the games until this year. I said after that game, I said Monday this week, I thought it was the third best win the organization has had this decade. And here's the way I size it up. Number one was beating San Francisco in the NFC Championship game.
So we are counting playoff games.
Yeah, I am counting. Yeah. And number two was beating the Chiefs on the road last year. Very similar to Baltimore, but to me, like a better team. And a team that ultimately won the Super Bowl and was defending champs. I think it was a bigger deal. And the one I was trying to weigh it between was Baltimore last week versus the Giants, who weren't very good, but it was a playoff game and an incredibly decisive playoff win you guys had in 2022. Bottom line is, I call this third best in 5 years. It just took the Eagles up multiple notches, both locally and nationally, with the belief people have in this squad.
Yeah, I don't know where it falls in the ranking. I'd have to like really look at, maybe my memory is just not good to be able to draw on the games like that. But I think it's a huge win. This is a team that, in Baltimore, that has been one of the best AFC teams since Lamar Jackson has been there. I mean, since John Harbaugh has been there. I mean, these guys have been towards the top for a long time.
Yep.
They're a physical, big, like when I think of the NFL, and probably it's because I'm from Cleveland, I think of the AFC North and the way a lot of those teams are built. And when you can compete with those teams and really match that physicality, that is a surefire sign that you are a legitimate football team. And that's what I really appreciate about that game. Was when I think of bully teams, I think of the Ravens, I think of the Steelers, I think of teams that are built to control the line of scrimmage in a physical and intimidating manner. And the Eagles were not intimidated one bit. They matched and exceeded that physicality. And I thought it was an enormously impressive victory for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Jason, don't... There was a lot made this week of the fact that all of the Eagles' offensive linemen are pullers. You know, that we use the power scheme so much that, you know, we do pull the center, which goes back to you, which is so rare and unique. And then we all, as fans, we know that you were part of bringing our current center, Cam, in part because he had a skill set that was similar to yours. How much does that matter? The fact that every one of these guys, and they're gigantic, by the way.
Yeah, that's
every one of them can pull.
How big they are. Yeah.
That's the size just to start is crazy. But yeah. Then the fact that they're all like just dexterous enough to get out there in space and find their target, it just seems almost impossible to put a group of guys together like that.
Yeah.
How rare is it? How much does that help the run game?
Well, I guess I'll speak to the pulling first. I think, you know, a few years ago, maybe it was with Nick, we really started getting into running counter a little bit. And we started doing it with Jalen, with the read counter. And then we just started like, hey, we kind of like counter. Let's just start running counter. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a really good fit off of some of these zone concepts and things that we already did. You know, with Chip Kelly, it was all zone read. And we had the one pull down and around play where we get on the edge. But, you know, now they have a really good blend of the counter, the tackle pull, the center pull on draws or on these, like, you know, five-man run plays. The scheme is multiple. They have tackle traps we started doing on like third downs. And I think in order to do all these things, you need an athletic offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, in order to control the line of scrimmage, you need a physical offensive line.
Sure.
So it's a hard thing to balance. And what the Eagles have, and you know, I credit, you know, the way they valued offensive linemen. I mean, it's not rocket science, you know, that you get really big, fast, strong guys, and they can do all this stuff. And, you know, the plotting, you know, power, you're just going to run one, you know, two-back power and be like a wall. That's not enough, I don't think, in this league anymore. You need to be able to have these guys that can do multiple things. And what the Eagles have right now, I mean, Jordan Mulata, Landon might not be the best example of an athlete, but he's definitely he's a beast of a man, football player.
Yeah, yes,
and he's a sneaky athlete. Mekhi Becton is an incredible athlete. Lane Johnson is potentially the most athletic person I've seen, next to Jason Peters, and then Cam Jurgens is enormously athletic. So, yeah. And I always felt, you know, the center being athletic is really nice because there's a lot of things you can do with that position, and having a big center, I don't know that it offers that much of an advantage because the neutral zone isn't as much, so you don't get as much movement out of the position regardless. But the two big guards, when I played my best, we had two just like big guys next to me that could really control the depth of the pocket and control the line of scrimmage, and I would work in unison with, and they would create such movement on these double teams or even singled up. And the fact that I think Mekhi Becton has been unbelievable this year in his growth, and I think Landon Dickerson continues to be one of the best guards in the league. And that, combined with Cam being the incredible piece that he is, and then we have two of the best, if not the best, tackles in the league.
Yeah, yeah. Jason with us in studio here. All right, 215-592-9494. To get some calls in, reminder, 9:30 today. Eric Dickerson on the program. So obviously Saquon is going for...
Eric Dickerson's coming on.
Dickerson. So Saquon's going for the record, Dickerson, today. We'll find out, does he want him to get it? Does he not?
I think everybody knows the answer to that, bro.
It's no, but, right?
Yeah. I don't know how to say that.
No, I'm like, saying no, Jason.
I wouldn't want someone to get my record. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's probably like that gung-ho no on it, but I mean, obviously, I think that's something that he takes pride in.
Of course. How would you know?
I guess the big question is, how hard do you go in the honesty department if you're Eric Dickerson?
Well, that'll be interesting.
I would be cautious about really letting the cat out of the bag about how I really felt, which is, oh, hell no. I would want to try to sabotage your efforts to beat me because I want it to last forever. Like, 2105 should stand forever. I now have, like, I hold it against Saquon. Like, I want him to
suffer. Well, I don't
think
it's... No, it's not that. You don't have to go that far.
Look, I know he can't say that.
I don't think he's going
to
be that
good. He's not going to say, I want him to suffer.
He's not going to say, I'm going to sabotage him.
I don't think he's going to feel that. I think he's proud of his record, but I think just like most guys, like, I don't think he's going to be like, screw this guy at all.
Right.
But I think, you know, if I'm him, I'm a little bit... I don't know. He won't bring it up, so I'll bring it up probably. You know, 17 games now.
Yeah.
He doesn't get... No, Jason, he can't because he broke OJ, who was in 14 games.
Yeah, but well, Jim Brown was 14 games.
Yeah, like Dickerson... We'll talk to him about that topic also, but he can't really say... Like, if he goes hard to the wall on that,
then people are going to be like, well, wait a minute. Then OJ got completely screwed at 14 games.
Yeah. Or he could just go back to like, hey, man, listen, OJ's the one. If I was him, I would go, I think, you know, OJ's the rushing record guy because he had a better yard per game with 14.
I mean, he certainly did.
Yeah.
No, by the way, Eagles, Carolina, the
I
game.
I don't know that we should be propping up OJ.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
The juice is going to come back from the dead for a couple extra yards. All right, we are giving away tickets to the Eagles and Panthers coming up in about 10 minutes. 8 o'clock today. Excuse me. Tomorrow we give away the tickets to the Eagles and the Panthers. You got to listen today at 8 o'clock for a name that we will give you.
Courtesy, of course, of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, a lot going on here in Philadelphia sports, including, you know, Juan Soto obviously looks like the Phillies are not in it at all. Reports they haven't even made an offer, haven't met with him. And the Sixers, what a debacle. Let's get to Scott right now in King of Prussia. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, team.
Hi, Scott.
Quick question for Jason and then a question for Ben. Jason, have you had a chance to watch Cam Jurgens on tape? And if so, I'm wondering if you could tell us what you see and maybe the positives and if you see any negatives as well.
Give me the second question, Scott, then we'll get to that. What do you got the question for Ben?
Okay, question for Ben. How much pressure is there from the union to take the highest deal?
Ooh,
great question.
Interesting question. All right, here's the answer I need from you, Scott, because you can win the tickets for Kevin Hart. Someone that's identified with one specific thing, like Dickerson and the goggles. What do you got?
Well, these two go together, and you can't have one without the other. Snoop and cannabis.
Yeah, all right. I guess that works. I guess that does work.
It's a great answer.
Ben, let's start with you and the union as it relates to Juan Soto. I remember this has been an issue at times, different sports.
CC Sabathia is one that stuck out.
Especially in a non-capped sport, because there's no limit to what you can get. Does the union really pressure people?
I would say to a point, yes.
And who does that?
Players.
Players.
Yes.
You get a call or a nudge from a player like, yeah, dude, you gotta
raise the price here.
Now, is that normally from a different team? Like your own teammate wouldn't maybe say that because they might want you to stay where you are, maybe?
No,
I know you weren't the Barry Bonds contract guy, but you've been around it. You know.
I think there's a nudge. I also think there's a personal understanding of getting that price tag even higher.
Right.
Because it's, you know, you're looking out for each other. And if you can get that price up a little bit higher, because it's going to raise, you know, high tide raises all boats.
Sure.
So that's, it can change.
I will say this. Here's one thing as a sports fan I've never understood, and just as a human. Like, if I want to sign somewhere, let's take way less money. Like, forget the 600 freaking million stuff. If I want to go somewhere for $10 million, and someone else wants me to go somewhere for $11 million, and I feel I'm truly going to be happy, and my family's going to be happy at the $10 million spot, I'm going to the $10 million
spot. But I don't think the union's getting involved for that. The union's getting involved when it's like $600 million or $500 million.
No, I know. I was just trying to use a scenario where it's not about $600 million. I mean, I hear you, James. My point is, though, same thing applies. $600 million or $550.
It's about setting bars, though. It's about setting bars.
But it's about a human being happy.
I get it. I get it.
The same thing happens in football. And it's more position specific as opposed to like team. Like, there's a lot of pressure, I think, within positions for guys to reset markets and to continue that thing growing. I
mean,
and there's been news all offseason about like the running backs meeting and like trying to make sure that that position is respected and paid at the appropriate level. But I know for sure that, you know, if, in particular, one guy signed less because he was happy and wanted to stay in a specific spot. And,
yep.
That would upset some guys for sure. Yeah.
So the Jurgens thing, you kind of already touched on it, but you got to be proud of him, right?
Very proud. And I mean, nothing unexpected. Like, definitely, you know, we talked about it before the season. I expected him to go in there and play at extremely high level. He has all of the tools and traits to be a very good center in this league. I think what I've seen, you know, I think early on, obviously, you're getting used to the position. There was like, you know, whatever stuff in Green Bay. And so we'll put all that aside. Where he's at now, he is incredibly strong at the point of attack. You saw him against Washington. He has very strong hands. And when he gets them into the body and just glues guys, he moves with them and creates great movement at the point of attack, which is really important for any of these runs, but especially some of these zone concepts.
Sure. It's like farmer hands.
Ranch hands, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, he was pass setting cows coming out.
Seriously.
So. Bales of hay,
you know,
throwing them around.
Cows are? Have you ever tried to move a cow?
This is Ben Davis's favorite conversation, by the
Seriously,
way.
Seriously.
Believe it.
Try to punch one of those cows. I swear to you, it's like it's
nice
made out of concrete. Concrete.
Yeah, they're heavy animals, but no. The farm strength.
You should try it. I'm telling you, man.
Don't try it.
The farm strength thing is real. A lot of the offensive linemen that I played with that came from farms had these oddly strong hands.
Yeah.
Because they have been working with their hands for a long portion of their lives. And I think Cam has very strong hands. He's got long arms. He's doing a good job of playing within balance, and they're doing a much better job passing off games now.
Yep.
Mekhi Becton and him are snapping things off in this last game. I think he's doing better at the second level. The one knock, I think, that you saw him coming out of college, he makes some devastating blocks at the second level. But sometimes he's so out of control that he would get slipped and he would miss some of them. Whereas I think what you're seeing the second half of the season, he's doing a much better job at the second level, connecting at a higher percentage
nice.
Of those.
More under control.
So
he's still having the devastating blocks. You want look at Washington at the end of the game. I mean, that highlight, he had the, him and Landon scooped the nose and he like decapitated the safety who was down in the box in a 4-minute drill. So he's still having the dynamite blocks, but I think he's connecting at a higher level on those now. And I think there's a little bit early on between him and Mekhi, especially on the angles on some of these zones, were just a little bit off. And like, there's things where like the backer's inside and he goes to the backer a little bit too soon on a combo. Mekhi thinks he's going to be there or like he stays too long and then he's getting undercut. Now they're doing a better job of navigating that, right? Which, that has nothing to do with anything physical. It's just
reps.
Communication and
it's,
reps
yeah.
and understanding.
Familiarity.
You know, Mekhi seeing, the backer's in there. Cam's going to be a little bit thinner on this combination block. I'm going to take a little bit more of it because I'm going to anticipate that he's going to come off and
sure.
stuff like that.
So here's who's doing a good job. Here's who's not doing a good job. Ben Davis, not you. That's Ben Davis, comma. Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right. Let me give you some audio of Nick Nurse yesterday, because, of course, Joel just keeps not playing. Maybe he'll play the next game. Maybe he won't. Probably won't. He's ramping up, whatever. Here is Nick Nurse last night with the latest on Joel Embiid.
Joel's been out so much. Has there been a thought of just saying, take a couple weeks off, take a month off, and we'll revisit later? Is it really...
No, I don't think so. Yeah, no, yeah, it's that. We're still trying to get him. I mean, you guys know he was out there today and moving okay and just trying to get him, see where he's at. You know, after a good workout, we need to see how it reacts, and then we go tomorrow again and just, as soon as it's good enough to go, he's going to go.
You know, it was a reasonable question. If you didn't hear, the question essentially was, you think about just shutting him down for a month. And not that anyone wants that, but is that, like, because, John, it's game by game by game by game by game. He doesn't play, and then the next game, and he doesn't play.
All of this is just...
It's very demoralizing.
It's too much to handle. And you can see it painted all over Nick Nurse.
Well, you
He's
can.
He's demoralized.
And the fan base.
We're demoralized. It's just too much. Yeah. I'm so tired of thinking about this. Like, oh, great. Now we got maybe he'll play Friday.
Right.
Okay.
But he probably will.
Do I really hope? I really do want to see him play. I'm really interested to see him do well. But, man, it's hard to hold on.
Real
hard
quick.
To hold out.